The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app and sign up with code WMVP for participating offers. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Use promo code WMVP today.
It is the big 25-year anniversary of ESPN 1000, and we are talking to some of our great friends throughout the years. Waddle and I have been doing this for 16 years. And first of all, we've got hundreds of our friends here at the House of Blues, because we don't stress that enough. While we have great guests and all-time leading scorers from the Chicago Bears and quarterbacks from the Chicago Bears and the greatest television anchor from this city, and Mark Gingreco was just on, without the people like you guys, or the people watching us on Twitch, or without the people listening to us on the ESPN Chicago app, or listening on ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2, without you guys, the diehard Chicago sports fan, or the people who love to laugh on your drive home, without you guys, we don't do what we get to do. So thank you guys for 25 great years of ESPN 1000. You guys are the true stars, so thank you.
25 more, right? At 81, I'll still be able to do this.
We'll wheel you in. Yeah. Yes, yes. Now let's give it up for the guy that I just alluded to. He is the all-time leading scorer in Bears history.
Thank you.
That is not you.
Tom Waddle.
This man has never missed in the NFL playoffs. He is his, we were talking about the clutch gene. This man has it. He knocked out the Packers 1 year ago. And he's a dear friend of ESPN 1000. Let's give it up for Robbie Gould.
Well, thanks for having me. I think I'm going to take Sylvie on the road. Let's take this on the road. I got a lot of time right now.
Well, you're a free agent, right?
Yeah,
you need
I got a lot
to
of
take
time.
Him into your free agent meetings with other teams.
I'm going to be your hype man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody needs a good hype man. I mean, like, you've been in San Francisco, what, how long? 5 or 6 years?
6 years. I just finished my 6th season.
I mean, and like, the love that there's, we had 2 Robbie chants, one during the break and one just now with your introduction, and people never forget in this town.
Well, this is why Chicago is by far the best sports city to play in. No matter whether they're rebuilding or whether they're winning, obviously this city has by far been amazing to me and my family. So to all of you guys out there and everyone listening, thank you so much for welcoming us home. And it's great to be back in the city of Chicago. This is full-time home for me. And it's great to be sitting next to you two guys, obviously.
Yeah, it's great to see you as well. Now, having played on other teams with teammates that haven't had the same opportunity to play here on a consistent basis, what is the feeling around the league about coming to Chicago to play?
Well, listen, there's a lot of guys I've talked to in free agency or throughout the years have come here and play, whether it's been for a year or whether it's been numerous years. They absolutely love it. I mean, there's no better city, one, for sports, but also, you talk about the restaurants, you talk about the fans, you talk about, being able to live in an area that's safe and it's fun, and you can do whatever you need to do and go to the zoo, whatever, for your kids. It's a great place to raise a family. But ultimately, the Chicago franchise, I would say, is probably one of the top 5 franchises to play for, with Philadelphia, with Pittsburgh, Seattle I would put in there with the 12s. But with those groups, when you play for them, it obviously means more to the city. It means more to the people that are invested in it. And I think, to me, it's always been incredible to come back to this warm welcome. I've been gone now. This is, I think it's going to be my 8th season.
Wow, it's been away. That long.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's my 8th season away from the Bears, and obviously I miss it every day. But I live in Chicago full time, and this is home.
Yeah. We have a lot of things to blame Pace for, and that's yet another.
Yeah.
don't blame them. I mean, it's part of the business. I've been through pretty much everything. but it's part of the business. It's a position where I think you know, when you're trying to find money in free agency and for salary cap and you're trying to get an offensive lineman, I mean, are you picking the offensive lineman to protect your quarterback and Jay Cutler, or are you taking the kicker, right? It's just, and that's part of the business.
Here's what we wanted to know. We're watching the San Francisco game, and Brock Purdy can't throw. And the camera keeps going to Brock. And we're like, is he going to go try? Did you volunteer and say, I will go and play quarterback?
You know what's funny is they actually mic'd up Christian McCaffrey as I was talking to Gronkowski about his Super Bowl kick he was getting ready to. And first of all, I don't know how he's kicking in size 16, 15 shoes.
So smaller is better?
I think so. For me, it works. You know, I got a size 9.5.
You're 9.5. Okay.
Yeah, so. But I think, you know, it was a tough situation for us to go through because we had such an awesome season. That was our third time being in the NFC Championship in 4 years. You know, we blew a 10-point lead the year before, really an interception away from probably playing in the second Super Bowl in 3 years. And it's just tough. Like, when you know you can't throw the football, but you're still running at 7 yards a clip, but you can't do anything with it. It's pretty difficult to come back from a lead. I think we were down 21-7 at halftime, but... kudos to the guys. They played hard. The defense never stopped. We just couldn't catch back
you
up.
You didn't answer my question, though. Did you volunteer to play quarterback?
I don't think Kyle Shanahan was going to put me at quarterback.
Yeah, as a veteran, you don't broach the topic with him. It's the NFC title game, you know. I'm interested. Like, I thought I'm only sitting on my couch, but I thought if Brock Purdy stays in that game as much as everyone was very excited about what the Eagles had done, and rightfully so. It felt like there was a confidence on your sideline that you knew that you had a good game plan for the Eagles, and had he stayed healthy, you felt very good about your chances of getting past that.
Yeah, listen, the Eagles are a great football team. I mean, what Howie Roseman was able to do to build that roster the way that he built it, you know, obviously they're going to have decisions that they're going to have to make coming up and keeping guys or letting guys go. It's just part of the business, right? They got to retool and get guys around what their philosophy is. But that was a really good football team. They had three incredible running backs to help Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts played. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl. He really was. I mean, I know that usually goes to the winning team, but the reality is he played the best in that game. And then the defense was really solid. You know, they played great all year. But if we, you know, we thought that going into it, it would have been a really close game. It came down to a couple plays here and there. It just didn't work out the way that, you know, it was supposed to.
All right, so let's talk about you. Waddle and I have talked about this off the air. Waddle has even looked at me and he goes, hey, anything about Robbie yet with free agency? Because it was, I think, I forget if it was you. Yeah, people are saying, come back here. And you say you're living here full time.
Here's what I'll tell you. You know, it's been an interesting free agency period. You know, one of the things that I put most of my stock in is I want to be closer to home. Would I love to come back here and play? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Unfortunately, I don't want to say unfortunately because it's not in our court to be able to make that decision, right? So if Chicago called me and said, hey, we want you back and you play, would I do it? Absolutely. But I think, you know, you got to be excited about what Ryan Poles is doing. Yeah. I mean, the way that he's doing it, I was a part of that exact same concept of a teardown in San Francisco 6 years ago. I love his patience. I absolutely love what he's doing. He's still got a lot of money in free agency that he's able to spend. He didn't overspend in the beginning of it. You see that he's getting a lot of value players. I know you guys talk about the linebackers a lot.
Yeah, yes.
But what I would say to that is, you know, he got two players for the price of one in Roquan Smith.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
totally agree.
And a second-round pick.
Yeah.
And a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he retooled. They have a lot of picks. The DJ Moore position, the heck with the picks from the number one overall. Getting DJ Moore for Justin Fields, I was watching highlights of that guy this week. What an explosive player.
Yeah.
Great 5 yards, taking a route to the house. Or great in, you know, a tight contested area. I love Deontay Foreman. I think he's going to be really good for the RPO scheme that they have. You know, obviously everyone wants them to retool in the offensive and defensive line, but if you look at what they're doing, they're getting great guys to come in to play special teams. They've done a nice job of putting some people around Justin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love to come back and play for the Chicago, for sure. I would definitely
Could you ever find yourself going north to Green Bay?
Oh, it's a tough
Hey, listen, a job's a job. I'm leaving.
You know, listen, like I want a chance to play closer to home, wherever that may be. You know, for the last 6 years, I've I'm a big believer that if you are a part of a team, you.
I'm reading body language right now, and I don't like what I'm reading here, Robbie. I do not like what I'm reading.
Listen, two of our favorite players went to Green Bay.
Mongo?
Well, yes. Mongo and for me and Jim Morrissey, both of them played at Green Bay, and they were Bears. The good kid, Johnny Yurkovich, is a Green Bay Packer, too. I mean, there are some good people that have played up there.
It'll work itself out at some point. That I'm not worried about. At this point, what I'm really enjoying is just being around my family.
Sure.
I'm getting ready to coach my three kids in baseball. By the way, coaching 9-year-old baseball.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go full time and be a manager, a 9-year-old baseball coach.
Do you want that smoke?
I do.
Do you really want that smoke?
You know, listen, I'm doing walk-up songs.
Yes.
I mean, I have 11 kids. I'm going to teach
how
to throw, catch,
and hit. Wait to the parents of the kids that aren't getting as many at-bats as the parents want the kids to get.
See, I'm in participation, so it's a rotational thing.
Right.
We're teaching them how to learn.
Okay.
By the way, you have to give a welcome letter, right?
You do?
Yeah.
What is your welcome letter
include? You have to set the tone, right? Like, hey, I know these kids aren't going to become professional baseball players. Let's have some fun. Why put a ceiling on these little kids? Let's enjoy it, right? So I had like a 2-page letter. It was like literally like...
2 pages,
it
wow.
was unbelievable. I mean, we covered everything from the attitude, here's my expectation. Yeah. I don't want to put myself in a head coach's shoes in the professional leagues at all because managing 11 kids...
But you seem to be excited about
it. I'm pumped. Yeah. I'm super pumped. And then I get to volunteer coach my other two boys, so it's going to be a lot of
fun. Now, what do you believe is going to be harder for you? Because I'm going to coach my 6-year-old, but I'm the assistant coach for numerous reasons. I can't make the weekday games because of our show.
That'll go well.
You know me. I am super calm around the kids.
That's true.
I think we should just do the show from the game.
Oh, that's a good idea,
you know what
actually.
I mean? This is the home of Chicago sports.
And Zetterman is very pro-coaching kids. So maybe we can pull that off, call it a tailgate and everything like that. But are you more worried about coaching the kids or coaching the parents? Because the parents can be real jerks.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. So we have to draft for a 9-year-old baseball league, which was interesting because we have like 7 kids that go to the same elementary school, and they all wanted to play together, basically. So you have to like kind of position yourself to get
these kids, you're stepping in the mud.
It's pretty wild. But what I would say is when I got the roster, I got the contact information, I tried to call every single parent and their kid to say, hey, I'm excited to coach you, just to set the tone. Like, hey, I want you involved. I'd love for you to volunteer. I have not been this deep in a black hole of YouTube baseball drills.
Yeah.
I'm learning alligator, belly button, turn, throw. I mean, let's go.
You're going to have any time to kick a football if you become this coach.
Well, you know, it's funny.
He's going to be a Packer.
I just started kicking this past week, and I usually only do one step, so I just go out in my backyard and kick. So it's been kind of nice. Like, I'll go down, work out, go kick in the backyard, and then I'm setting the lineups, I'm doing drills, I'm setting up a practice schedule.
You're multitasking.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Now, I noticed that once the Packer thing came up, you deflected by going to youth sports.
I did? I deflected?
Maybe it's the Lions. It's not the Packers.
That's what my money was on, the Lions.
Well, like I said.
Because they're closer.
I will be mauling over the best opportunity to come closer to home.
Are you confident that you will be kicking in the National Football League in the 2023 season?
I do.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little bit of time, obviously, I think, to get to that point.
But the desire still burns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I want to make the Hall of Fame. That's one of my biggest goals. I want to be in the conversation for that. I don't know how that's going to go or what that's going to look like, but I would, as much as I'm ready to play coach and husband and dad, I had my kids out with me in San Francisco for the season, and they were in the locker room, and it was fun to have them around. I'm this close to winning a Super Bowl, so obviously that's a big part of what I'd love to do. But I think holistically, I'm more motivated now than I've ever been, and I'm playing at a much higher level now than I played when I played here for 11 years.
And how important is it, like, that streak? I am so impressed.
It's unbelievable.
Like, when you were kicking in this year's postseason, I was physically nervous for you with these kicks, because I'm like, when we talk about the streak, don't jinx him, Sylvie, you know, like, we feel like we're a part of the ride now as you're on the show. And then just every time, not only are you making them, it's true, but Waddle and I were talking about Schwarber.
Yep.
And, like, is there a way to measure clutch? There's no way, I think, to predetermine or to measure clutch, but the results, you're obviously clutch. By not missing in the postseason, that's clutch. What Schwarber does in the WBC and the World Series, that's clutch. Like, is that what you're most impressed with in your career, your postseason never missing streak?
You know what's funny is my wife and I have been talking a lot, obviously going through this process of teams and having those conversations and what makes sense for us at my age at 40. You know, I kicked off, which is kind of unheard of in the National Football League at 40 years old. Not many guys are doing that. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. We don't really talk about what I've done. It's more like, what do you want to do, right? And for me, I'm really close to 2,000 points. I'm closing in on 500 field goals. I'm the only guy that's kicked in the National Football League to be the top 10 in field goals made, percentage, and points. I mean, there's a lot of things for me. I'd like to get to the top five of that. I'd like to get to number one. Now, Vinatieri played for 24 right. years.
Well, you're closing in on that too, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's going to take a long time, and I don't know that I'm going to play 6 years.
Right.
But I think for me, I still got the desire, and again, listen, I'm more motivated going through this process now than I've ever been. And it'll all work itself out. I know there's going to be a place, and it's going to be the right place, and we're going to enjoy it.
Another thing that we've loved about you, you've become such a big friend of the radio station. Like, we've talked, we've busted balls, we've talked football with you, but, you know, and I think we all got to know you through JD. And
yep.
JD's parents are here, George and Sandy.
George and Sandy.
Yep.
And like, I talked to them earlier, and it's super important to me, and it's super important. I think a lot of people are wearing the JD shirt from Obvious Shirt. And I told George and Sandy, wherever I go, when it's a big event, it's important to me to bring JD with.
Yep.
Because I want him here, and he should be here. And it's like, we should never forget JD. And you forged such a big relationship with JD, which these days is sort of unheard of with a reporter covering the
yep.
team. How important was JD to you, and how did that develop over time?
You know, what's unique about JD is, you know, obviously I met him in the locker room. And when you get in the locker room and you're talking to these guys, it's not always about, hey, what's the scoop, you know? And, you know, what I really appreciate about guys like Zach Zaidman and JD and even Deion Miller's here and Peggy Kaczynski, all those guys were reporting when I was young in the National Football League. So I got to understand how the NFL worked through them. And I think what I loved about all of them, including JD, is that, hey, how's your family? Like, you're getting married. Congratulations. You know, we would talk about baseball and his son training for baseball and the drills that they're doing. And obviously when his wife went through her situation and any way we could help, we would try to do that. But it was awesome to be able to get to know a guy who, it wasn't about the scoop, it wasn't about the dig, it wasn't about the headline, it was more about you as the person. And you kind of hear that holistically from when he was a producer till even today when people are talking about the stories about him in the locker room and everything else. I love JD. He will be forever missed. And
I think you could probably know as well from your interactions with him just what kind of teammate he was. Obviously, he wasn't one of your football teammates, but you could understand how important he was as a teammate to us, and the dedication and the friendship
mm-hmm.
and the loyalty and the hard work and setting an example and all of that stuff, I'm sure, came out just in your exchanges with him as a reporter and a player.
Well, what was cool, too, is, you know, I would call up JD, like, hey, let's go get lunch in the off season, and then we would just talk, hey, broadcasting is something that I would love to get into. It's something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy connecting with people. And he would always be like, hey, these are the things that you should try to do. This is something that you don't want to do. And it was kind of nice to have him as a mentor for me getting in some of this business, not full time, but just being in positions like today and understanding what this seat really means. Because these seats are precious, as you guys know. There's not many of them. And in this city, it's one of the greatest cities to be in to be able to talk Chicago sports. And it was great to be able to see him every day in the locker room and have a relationship with him.
That's what we love about you. Like, and no matter, and like, ball busting aside, no matter where you go, we'll always be rooting
we'll be fans,
for you.
For sure.
As long as it's not against the Bears. But we'll root for you, the kicker.
Well, I mean, the last time I played the Bears, well, the last couple of times I played the Bears, it went well. So, well, for me, it went well.
We're right. Not I mean, not so saying. Well for your team, though, I'm this
just,
year.
I'm just saying, it went well
like,
for
we
me.
Needed, we needed a monsoon.
Yeah.
But it went well for the Bears.
Talk about a messy game, though.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Once that rain hit, whoever had the lead, that game was over. And I will say, Soldier Field did a great job with the new turf. It was awesome. And it held up really well.
What's the worst element for you to do your job in? Is it rain? Is it wind?
I would say rain if it lays on the field
okay.
because of how fast it comes down. We played in a game like that against the Redskins, the Commanders, sorry. They were the Redskins at the time. About three years ago, in 2019. And it rained the entire day, and it was literally water up to your mid-calf. And as you would actually hit water, the ball, and then just see a splash. And the ball would go nowhere. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Let's give it up for Robbie Gould, everybody.
Thank you.
Robbie, you're the best. Thank
you. Thank
Thanks,
you for
guys.
Coming
I appreciate
by.
It.
We're celebrating 25 years on ESPN 1000. One of our dear friends who has the best opening theme song on the Waddle and Sylvie show joins us next. You'll hear from him coming up.
ESPN Chicago, our celebration continues. How much more magic can there be today? Just wait and see. Or maybe these guys have some answers. Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie and the 25th anniversary live broadcast from the House of Blues in downtown Chicago. Take it away, friends.
All right, we are having a blast here at ESPN 1000, and we're going to have some great guests coming up. What we wanted to do today is talk to our favorite people, and one of our favorite people we don't always agree with. We just argued with him in the morning the other day, but we can all agree he probably had one of the top two theme songs on the Waddle and Sylvie show. Charlie, hit it!
Nick!
Just because you disagree with his bull stuff doesn't mean you will boo.
I love
there
it.
There will be no booing.
It. There is nothing that my friends loved more than when
people
when,
boo you.
When you guys would come on and be like, oh, the Heat fan's coming on. And my friends from Orlando would be like, they think you're a Heat fan? You didn't hate any team more than you hated the Miami Heat, but you guys perpetuated the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And it was a memorable moment for me in those
Nick, we sell stories to people. That's what we do. We sell stories.
Oh, first of all, are you double miking it?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Is this your first go around? What are you doing? You got the one mic on you. You got the broadcast mic, then you got the stick mic going. You're double miking it here.
I've never been in one of these before, so I need all the help I can get, as usual.
Yeah. You got dressed up for us as well.
Yeah, look at this. What is this called?
That's a pocket square.
I know. Like, even like even when it's so it's like a full blossom pocket
that's
square.
That's a muffler.
That's
yeah.
Right.
No, but Waddle, it's like a full blossom
well,
pocket
square.
Well,
I know. Square. He's adding a little bit of pizzazz.
It's a flair.
It.
It's you got some flair.
This is truly what I miss.
They're moving closer. I'm going to help you with
this. This is what I miss the most.
It's what you use to get rid of your snot rockets.
Yeah,
But in between hits.
Know, truly, this is, when I came to Chicago, I didn't know a soul. And I would come into the studio, and I would sit with you guys, and y'all would make fun of me, and I still
We would make fun with you.
That's right. It was like my two older brothers.
Yeah.
And I still remember us going to Lottie's, and you guys were just feeding me shot after shot after shot.
Oh, really? You guys did that to him?
And I walk up to Carmen at 10:59 Central, and I see the ball about to drop in Times Square. And I'm like, do you guys celebrate it when the ball drops in Times Square?
Because you're an East Coast guy, right? Orlando.
And he looks at me and he goes, no, you idiot. That means it's 10:59 Central. We got another hour. And I always will appreciate the way everybody here treated me because it became family.
You are family.
I would go into the studio and I would just sit there and you guys would be like, what the hell are you doing here? On days when I didn't have to work, I would go sit with Chris and Adam in the back. I'd sit with Hoodie. And I'd be like, you guys are my friends. And nothing has changed. So
you're the son that I never had. How old are you?
39.
It's a little close. That's cutting it tight.
It is. I'm 56. No, that could be half. My mom had two kids at 17.
Days at BC. I mean, you don't know.
My mom had two at 17.
I know. It's cutting it tight.
Not really. Depends on where you come from.
But I always will appreciate that. And when I think about ESPN 1000 and ESPN Chicago with Roman and Keith and Jim Pastor and John Cravens, everything we built there, that is what I think of.
Yeah. Well, like I always say, ESPN Chicago, when it was built, I'm not talking about the radio station of ESPN 1000 25 years ago. The local ESPN.com that was called ESPNChicago.com, when they made that its own unique website, and it was Nick Friedel on the Bulls, it was Jesse Rogers on the Cubs, Melissa Isaacson is a columnist, John Greenberg is a columnist.
JD on the Bears.
It was Doug Padilla on the White Sox.
Mike Wright came in a couple years later.
Right. Was Jesse on the Hawks?
Jesse was on the Hawks, and he got switched to the Cubs. But that is the coolest part because we all gave everything we had into the website, into the radio station every day.
Right, and you guys would be featured. And to me, it was The Athletic. Before The Athletic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was free to people.
And I'm sure you probably had a couple of moments where not everyone got along famously at all times. But, like, I said this earlier when we were talking with Carmen the Good Kid, that the one thing that has resonated with me over the course of 16-plus years is just the relationship that exists with everyone. And you truly do get the feeling of everyone being on the same team and pulling on the same end of the rope.
We have experienced everything together.
Yeah.
And so I know you talked a lot about this when you were going through your cancer fight, but there is not one life event that we all haven't shared together. The great, the bad, everything in between. And that's what I look back on and I think everybody poured everything they had into this. And when you do that and when you're around a bunch of people that you actually do like, respect and care about, then you can build what we built now.
Right. Look, we grew the radio station. We grew the website. But like you said, the life events, what matter. When Waddle and I started, I remember we were at one of our early events. His youngest daughter, Emerson, was small enough like to be on his lap at like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, now Emerson's in college. I was a single guy, know nothing. Now I've got two of my own. His oldest now is getting married here this summer.
I'm still single.
Right.
I was just going to say.
That's okay.
I was just going to say, what's on your agenda?
Well, what are you? You're 37, you just said?
39.
Like, I didn't get married until I was 40. Who cares? Do it in your own
You have set the bar for me to follow.
Yeah, right.
We've talked about this. You've done it. But it is, everybody does feel like they play a role. I mean, even as you say that, I think back to one of the first times I did a remote at a Bulls game, and I'm sitting there, and I see Yurko and Carm, and they're up there, and Yurko's throwing donuts, munchkins, off the roof, and he's catching them in his mouth, and he's like...
He's probably doing that over there right
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, but I love telling this story, because Yurk's like, I just started this, I'll bet you $20 I can do it again. I said, there's no way, and he throws a munchkin off the roof, and he catches it in his mouth. And he looks at me and he goes, welcome to the big city, kid. And I hand him a $20 bill. And I had a life lesson from that moment forward.
Yeah.
But crazy uncle, you're, I mean, it's everything. I still wake up truly. We were talking about it the other day. I wake up, I turn on the app, and I feel like I'm listening to all my friends.
So much so that you call us when we say things you don't agree with.
Well, that's insane. Kyle Schwarber had one good year in Chicago.
You know, stop yourself.
That's a terrible take.
It's a
he had one
take.
Good year. You're we talking are, about the we, most clutch guy in the city's history. He had one good year.
I don't think anyone even took it that far either, did they? The most clutch guy in the history.
No,
they
said, no.
Come on. Michael Jordan played here.
I love
don't
it.
Don't do that.
I
man.
Love
what
it.
Is what? So is this true? Gustavo was tweeting earlier. He's a big fan of the radio station. He's always on Twitch.
Is Gustavo here?
I don't know. It's Gustavo. Are you here?
Shout out to Gustavo and Josh Caputo. I'd be remiss if I didn't. He is the originator of the theme song.
Right.
Remember, he sent it into us so we could play it.
Yes,
before.
Yes. The Nick Friedel theme song. He entered some of the holiday parody songs early on too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Gustavo cuts up a lot of clips. Gustavo said, and I think we've talked about this before, Waddle, but it was just, to read it again was laugh out loud funny, that there was a day where Nick Friedel waited so long to do expense reports from all of his Bulls trips that there was one day when he showed up, like at 4 in the afternoon or something, you could have maybe said, he shows up at the radio station at 4 in the afternoon or noon or something. And he didn't leave the radio station until the following morning at 7 a.m.
Come on. No, stayed there all night working on expense reports?
That's 100% the truth. I think it was either Adam Delavitt, our old program director, or Meller, who came in
that's
and
why
they
you're
said,
still single at 39.
Well, yeah, exactly, because I keep pouring everything into the job. I haven't learned the other part of this. Well,
you're a bad expense report person. That's all that means.
Who's a good expense report person?
Well, you cannot pull an all-nighter on expense reports.
Why not do your the expense computer? Reports every 2 weeks or once a month?
Because I was living on the road, and I was trying to figure out how to do all this different stuff.
So what time did you get in? And
I got
time?
Into the stage about 6 p.m. I didn't leave till 7 a.m.
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't get away from it because I knew if I didn't keep going, I'd have to start over. So it was in those moments, though, truly, when I look back on all the things that I've done so far in my career, I think back to all the time that we would put into everything before a Bulls game and when they got good and when they were bad. Everything I've learned up to this point started here. And I learned everything I needed to know by being around you guys at the station and by listening to Roman and Keith at the website and continuing to pour that in.
I got to say, too, and I, not to be, you know, sappy about it, but I'm sure Sylvie feels the same way. I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but there is a sense of, like, pride that would come across, at least me, and I'm sure you as well, whenever Nick would be doing a national hit or JD was doing a national hit or Jesse was doing a national hit or anybody that was associated with the station was doing a national hit. Because as you speak about the concept of being teammates, I think we were all there kind of supporting all of you when you were in those moments and doing what you were doing and couldn't have been happier for the success that all of you were having at the time.
I feel like I'm always carrying the flag, even now, for ESPN Chicago. And I know JD felt it, and I know Jesse still feels it with what he's doing, and it's just special. I think one of the coolest moments for me was we were a couple years into the website and the radio station, and I was getting used to coming on the show all the time, and I'm in Sacramento. And these two guys stand up there in Bulls jerseys, and they go, "Hey, it's Nick Friedel, the Bulls beat reporter. You love Steak and Shake." And I'm like, I'm in Sacramento. What the hell is going on? Yeah. But I knew at that moment that it had kind of crossed to a different point. And through the years, no matter what I do and no matter where I've gone or what kind of teams I've covered, it always comes back to Chicago. And there is only one Chicago, and it is the best. And the reason why people feel so comfortable here is because of the fans and the way they respect what's going on and how they follow these
teams. Even when they're busting your balls about your very honest takes on the Bulls and other things NBA related.
If I have done anything in my career from the moment I started in April of 2009, I've tried to be honest.
Yes.
And that is never going to change. So no matter what happens, I've always appreciated people have been like, I don't agree with you, but I appreciate that you tell me what you think is going on in the right. moment. And that's gotten me into trouble sometimes, but it's certainly what started in the beginning and it's kept going.
And I know you mentioned him. Shout out to Jim Passer, too, who could not be here today. One of the best bosses we've ever had. Oversaw the website, oversaw the radio station as general manager for many, many years, and he is a friend to all three of us, even to this day.
Jim probably gave me the greatest advice I've ever had in media, and I've been doing stuff since 1993, even when I was back playing. And Jim always said, trust your ears. If it sounds right, it's right. Don't worry about, you know, some of the other numbers attached to different things. Trust your ears. If it sounds right, it more than likely is.
So it's what I do when I hear a crazy Nick Friedell take.
Exactly.
I trust my ears.
Exactly.
And I says, that's asinine.
That's right.
What do you do with Caps takes?
You know what I do.
They fight.
Nick, you're the best. Thank you.
I love you guys.
How about a hand for Nick Friedell? Let's go. Let's give it up for Nick.
I love it.
Nick Friedell, the Bulls beat reporter. Coming up next, someone who made our show great back in the day was Sarah Spain. She joins us coming up next.
Welcome back to the House of Blues in downtown Chicago. This is the Waddle and Sylvie Show and the ESPN Chicago 25th anniversary live broadcast. Hear us in HD on 100.3 FM HD2. Hear us on the ESPN Chicago app. Watch us live on Twitch.tv or hear us where it all started, AM 1000. And now, here's your hosts, Tom Waddle and Mark Silverman.
All right, Ray Clay doing great work. I love Ray, and that voice just brings so many memories. And I know Sarah Spano is a huge Bulls fan as well. Sarah had such an impact on our show.
Can I ask a question sent from a listener?
To Sarah?
Sarah,
how about why don't we give a big hand?
First of
and,
all,
and
yeah.
Now she does great work nationally. And way back in the day, was doing updates on the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Yeah.
Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. There's so many awesome people here that I haven't seen in so long, and it's really exciting to see everyone.
I think you just answered David's question, though.
Yeah.
He said, will we be getting party voice, Sarah? Those were some of the best updates back in the day.
You know what? I thought that was a medical thing, but I think I just drank way too much in my 20s.
I think you're the reason why we came up with the term party voice.
Yeah. I mean, I do have acid reflux, which is part of it, but like as I got older, I was like, wow, I don't have party voice nearly as much anymore. But I was like, oh, it's because I have settled down.
You can't use acid reflux as the excuse. You got to say, yeah, I was out. You know what?
Right.
I just
no, but I really was out a lot. Also, like I figured out how to work radio at night. That's the key.
Yes.
Do radio at night, because
so
then you got plenty of time to recover before you got to go on.
It wears out. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it wears off as you spend the rest of the day easing your way in.
What are your best or biggest memories of the radio station?
Well, I was listening a bunch today, and it was fun to hear a lot of the people, because Gian Greco is someone I had a like coffee meeting with before my career ever started, right when I moved back to Chicago, and he was super helpful and such a great like early mentor.
He was the first guy we all called if we needed advice on something.
I think he's the one that everyone told everyone to call.
Yeah.
Dave Jude taught me everything about being an update anchor. A lot of it I just didn't retain or use, mostly involving all those like media books. I was like, I'll figure it out. But like Jude also was an interesting storyteller of like the early days, because I got to you guys in early 2010, and so he'd tell stories about Sylvie getting mad about things having a temper. And was that back in like the days when those like
Roid Rage, 2022
Roid Rage drugs were still available, what were those called? Rip Fuel?
no that was all natural.
That was just you? Okay.
That was all natural. That was and good. It wears off.
Yeah.
The older you get, and I still have some of that.
That's your party voice.
Less of
that. That's your party voice. Is the temper.
Yeah.
But Jude, had a lot of stories about the old days. And then, honestly and sincerely, you guys, I mean, I learned everything about good radio from your show. And every show that I've done nationally since, I will say, and Meller in particular, Jeff Meller, the way that he produced that show, I'll go into every show I've done and been like, okay, we should do rejoins. We should have things where we're coming back from previous things. Like someone who's tuning in for the first time should still get to know us from those little bits that we come back from break and like sound bites. And it's been hard because having different people every night on the national level, you don't always have the same soundboard ops. They don't know the show as well. So I have been nostalgic for the days when it's like everyone knows, hey, Joe, what are you doing with avocados? And
right,
everyone knows what's up shirt off.
You
and
go
everyone,
all the way back to your time at ESPN 1000.
Right. And yeah. I'm like, oh, I wish I had that where we were all simpatico like that. And, I mean, your show literally taught me everything about hosting and producing even.
Yeah. And how about some of the memorable Cutler shows that we were all involved in, too?
We had one where you got real PO'd at me. Do you remember that?
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
I think we were in Schaumburg. I think something where we argued about something, like not understanding something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said something, and I thought Sylvie didn't get what he was saying, and they were mad at each other. And I was like, yeah, what Jay meant. And you were like, don't you tell me what he meant. I know what he meant. I was like, okay, cool. Trying to help out. Things seemed awkward.
That guy died like when he got married and had two kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That guy is gone.
Yeah, he saves it for his family now, is what you're saying.
I think that guy's unlikely. He's still around.
We keep him in the basement, though. We keep him in the basement. He's not allowed out much.
Yeah.
Because when he does come out, things go haywire.
Yeah.
The Cutler shows.
The Cutler show for me. And when Jay comes, you know, we could talk about it. Jay's show would have me the most stressed out of the week. It was a very, and those were the days, and you know how it is with Twitter as well. And those were the early days of Twitter where the mentions, and you were really deep in your mentions.
Yep.
And there would be people telling me, Sylvie, you better read Jay the Riot Act. Mm-hmm. And then the other side would be, Sylvie, you're too hard on Jay. And then I'd be like, which way am I going? You know, and I'd be so in my head. And then, and it was just, I was twisted.
And then we got to the point where Jay would actually be the one that would put everyone at ease.
Right. Well, he'd be the one that, like, I know I sucked yesterday. Yeah. Don't worry, I still showed up.
Right.
I am angry that I threw four picks, but I'm here. But between Jay and Brandon Marshall, like, those are mercurial dudes. Like, you're going to get them on a great day, and it's going to be an awesome interview, and you're going to talk to him about his pet dog psychic.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure.
And he's going to open up, and people are going to be like, oh, man, Jay's funny, and he gets along with these guys, and they're such good back and forth. And then the next day, he's going to act like he's never met you, and he's going to murder you. And same with Brandon Marshall. It's like, so charismatic, and then another day, he's going to be real mad about something.
It made for good radio, didn't it?
I mean, well, I also was back at the shop, speaking of mercurial people, for the Dennis Rodman infamous day.
Oh, boy.
So you were
So I have a couple, like, early moments where I had just started. And, like, I was like, what have I gotten into? First day was at Hawthorne Racetrack trying out for the basketball team that you guys never played.
Wait. Hold the thought, okay? I want you to tell those two stories when we come back. And I think Peggy and Dion are going to join us, then Jay. So we've got a lot to do. I want Sarah to tell these couple of stories. Because I forgot all about the Hawthorne race course story. When we opened up our big-ass mouth over the Valpo stuff.
Yeah.
All that coming up. You remember that, Waddle? We forgot all about that. We're celebrating 25 years of ESPN 1000. We're at the House of Blues.